Attention entrepreneurs and business owners. It's time to stop working so hard, start working smart, and build a business that stands on its own.
Generate real wealth, real freedom,
and a real legacy.
Now from New York City, small business champion and business attorney, helping thousands of entrepreneurs generate hundreds of millions of dollars. Here's Nina Kaufman, and this is the Cash Out Big Podcast.
Hello, how are you? Welcome to Cash Out Big, where we share the tools to get your business running like a well-oiled machine so you can have the wealth, freedom, and legacy you've always wanted. I'm your host, Nina Kaufman, coming to you from the heart of New York City, and I'm glad you're here today. Thanks for tuning in. Today on the show, I'm going to talk with Chief Financial Officer Jonathan Ankeny about getting financial clarity and the financial systems that really help your business grow and scale. You know, and that's so important for service business owners because I saw it with the client I mentioned last week. You know, he had tens of thousands of dollars in receivables and he wasn't seeing what was outstanding and for how long. And that had a huge effect on his profit margin and his ability to pay himself, which really became a big wake-up call. And because of that, it also didn't give him the breathing room to consider his growth plans. So he now has much better systems in place so that he's not reinventing the wheel every day because, you know, that's really tiring. So if you're tired of doing that and you're tired of feeling like you're starting from square one all the time, we've got a great webinar training for you. Just hop on to cashoutbigtraining.com and get signed up. And that's something I'm going to be talking about with our guest, Jonathan Ankeny, today, because many of my clients came to their business not for the love of the numbers and playing around with numbers, but for, you know, like the title of the movie, for the love of the game, for the love of the work, and because that's where their talents lay. So when it comes to understanding the numbers in their business, it's like speaking a whole new language. You know, when you start, it's awkward, it's uncomfortable, you don't know how to pronounce things, you use the wrong words, you're afraid of making a mistake. And for small business owners who have a lot of other things on their plate, they'd rather just move on to the next thing, right? But as you saw with my client, ignoring this can place you in a really tight position financially. So that's why I'm excited to have our guest on this week. One of the things that I like about Jonathan is not only does he focus really on service business entrepreneurs, but in doing that and in helping them understand the story that their numbers are telling them, and partnering with owners as a chief financial officer, a CFO, what he's able to do is really tap into his journey as a musician. That's where he started. He didn't start with, yay, I came out of the womb and I love numbers. No, he started as a trumpet player. And being able to be a translator for those kinds of issues is a very special talent. You know, going from musician to financial executive to bridge that gap. And that's why I'm really pleased to have him here on Cash Out Big. Jonathan, thanks so much for being with us today.
Happy to be here with you, Nina.
You have a wonderful new site, and you use a phrase on it that I really like. And I when we were talking before, I mentioned this to you. You use the phrase financial clarity for your business. Can you explain sort of what's your background and how did you come to that concept of financial clarity?
Sure. Well, my background is a little bit different for someone who is in finance. I actually started out as a musician. My undergraduate degree is in music. I was a classical trumpet player. And for about 2 to 3 years after I graduated, I was struggling along. You know, surprisingly enough, music doesn't make a whole lot of money for most people.
Wow. Surprise.
Yeah, it's shocking, isn't it? So I needed to make a decision about what to do next. And I ended up getting some feedback from a career assessment test that said that I scored almost evenly between creative endeavors and administrative endeavors, and which is, you know, a little bit different. And after doing some research, I ended up going to Binghamton University upstate that had at the time a program in arts administration. It was within the School of Management, so it was a business degree with this concentration for people who were in the arts who are going to become administrators in arts organizations, museum administrators, orchestra, dance companies, theater companies, places like that. But when I was up there, I decided to double major in finance, which is quite different because a lot of the people who were already creative wanted to do creative things. Marketing, program development, things that would allow them to even go further into their creative side. But I had experience as a temp at a bank in Philadelphia and said, you know what, money kind of interests me. So I double majored in finance. And it was in some ways quite challenging. I was good at math, but it forced me to get to the point where I had to understand accounting concepts and finance concepts in ways that I hadn't thought of before. Mm-hmm. And getting through that program and then going to work first in small arts organizations and then in small companies, I got to a point where it became rather comfortable. And what I was finding was that the concepts weren't that difficult once people understood what they were supposed to do. So financial clarity for me actually means two things. One thing is that finance isn't difficult. Accounting isn't difficult once people, everyday people, know what they're supposed to do. But the other part of it is that we want to have clarity about how we are doing financially. Because if we don't, then, you know, the business is at risk.
Yeah, very true. And forgive me, I just have to throw in this really, really bad joke. So as a trumpet player, do you blow your own horn? I'm sorry.
Trumpet players sit at the back of orchestras. So in some ways, they have the ability to hide, but they also play very loudly. So so it's a mixture. And I actually see a little bit of the same in finance, too, because we finance types oftentimes sit behind computers back in a corner somewhere and do things. But at the same time, we also need to be bold about what it is we're doing. And as an entrepreneur, I do have to toot my own horn.
Exactly. So it's really like, wah, wah, wah. Sorry about that. But you raise a good point about, you know, understanding the story of money, this what's telling us, do we understand how we're making money? And so in your experience working with a lot of small business owners, because you do that as a chief financial officer, where do you see the breakdown? If you had to pick maybe one or two top areas where business owners get stuck, what would those be?
Well, I think that really the biggest area is that because it feels uncomfortable, it feels foreign to them, that they don't venture into the financial realm to begin with. Mm-hmm. And as a result, what happens is like, oh, you know, I'll just let my tax preparer take care of things. I won't do the budget, because as long as we're making money, we're fine. And these are things that are just a normal part of practice. Taking a look at financial reports, are we making money? What's our profit margin? Are we meeting budget? Are we exceeding budget? Do we have a shortfall? What does an average month look like for us? All of these different things that they're not approaching at all because it feels foreign to them.
So is it a comfort zone thing, or is it just I'm too busy to take on and learn a whole new area, given that entrepreneurship is so, you know, you have to wear so many different hats as a business owner?
I think that it's both. I think that there is intent at times that I'll see in people that I talk to. They'll say, you know, it's something that I need to get around to, but I'm busy doing this marketing project. I know that I need to set aside some time so that I understand how my QuickBooks is supposed to work, or I need to set aside time in order to just understand budgeting in general. So there's the time investment, and then once they get to that point, it's okay, now I have this huge hurdle. I'm trying to figure out what it is that I'm supposed to do. How do I understand budgeting? How do I understand return on investment, for example?
Okay. So where can and should, do you think, business owners start with either, let's say, good fiscal health in order to achieve that fiscal clarity?
Well, one of the things that I really encourage people to do is to look at their financial reports regularly. It might seem completely foreign at first, but let's just say that someone who's struggling to understand what is going on takes a half hour every Friday afternoon and tells their bookkeeper, deliver me a balance sheet and a profit and loss report. Give me a profit and loss report against the budget every Friday afternoon. Take a little bit of time, start marking it up, put question marks beside the numbers. Say, well, what does this mean? What does this do? What does this mean for our business? And don't be shy about moving ahead and looking at them. It's a little bit like learning a foreign language, I think.
Oh, okay.
People are afraid to speak in their second language. Maybe they studied in high school or in college. So they're a little bit shy about speaking it, so they don't do it. Well, they don't make progress because they're not doing it. So finance and accounting terms, in a lot of ways, may seem like a foreign language. But we have to start somewhere. And fortunately, it is the type of thing where you're just sitting in the back room of the office looking at financial reports, and it's only one-on-one with the bookkeeper, possibly the CFO or tax preparer, in order to understand what's happening. But we need to get started.
Well, you know, I like that analogy of a foreign language because, as you say, it's something that you can build up to, and once you learn it, those skills are always sort of with you, and you can do it with a glass of wine. So so it doesn't actually have to be a hugely painful process, I don't think. As you say, there are ways to dip into it. So in addition to looking at the financial reports, okay, so I'm looking at them, I'm seeing certain trends, you know, maybe I'm not so great about doing the budgeting. What other kinds of practices would you recommend be in place to start to support that kind of reporting or decision-making process?
Well, there are a lot of things that can be done, but I would say in my mind that every business owner needs to start by understanding what their profit margin is. And they can do that by looking at the profit and loss report and saying, well, what is the income that I've brought in, and subtract out what the cost of goods are and come up with that profit margin as a whole for the business. But they also need to be able to do it on a per item basis. So it can be done with services, it can be done with products. Either way, it's the question of, if I charge, for example, if I charge $100 an hour for this service and I pay my subcontractor, let's say $45 an hour, then my profit margin is $55. So they need to understand what they're clearing, because that $55 profit margin is money that they get to use in order to cover their overhead and to pay their salary.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They also need to be able to estimate return on investment. So if return on investment being, if I embark on a project that's going to cost me $25,000 by, let's say, building a new product, investing in the product, figuring out whether or not it's going to be able to go to market, hiring the people to help them get it there, what will the return on that be? Mm-hmm. And how soon will it return? And what's the risk involved with that? I would also say that budgeting is very, very important, just because we want to set our targets that we're trying to reach and exceed. And the planning process for budgeting also helps, because just in the planning process, we start to ask questions about, well, what if this doesn't happen? Or what if this happens, but it actually happens too well?
Hmm.
So it allows us to be thinking about what the future is like. And the fourth thing that I would say actually is cash flow forecasting. And this is especially important because it's possible to be profitable on paper, but run out of money.
Oh, that's not good.
So, I mean, just imagine for a moment that a business sends out $200,000 in invoices, and they have $250,000 in expenses. Well, that doesn't look too good to begin with, but it's manageable if they collect from their clients right away.
Right.
But what happens if the $250,000 is due tomorrow and they're not going to be collecting for 45 to 60 days?
Yeah, not good.
So it's definitely not good. And it is possible for businesses to run out of money and still look profitable.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So as we're thinking in our business about... and again, the focus of the podcast is really trying to get the business to run like a well-oiled machine. What kinds of financial systems should be in place for business owners? And what do they need to set up and maintain?
Well, there's a lot to the question that can be answered. The financial systems, I would say, have two parts. One is that you want to have the data side of things, the technology, the software, the computers that the numbers are run into, and then you have the people part of it. So typically what I will do with clients is we will look at first at what the outcome is that they want from their financial reports. Every business is different and every business owner is different. And as a result, each business owner is going to look at their financial reports differently in order to understand how their business is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So by sitting with them and saying, okay, what types of reports do you need and how do they look in order for you to make informed decisions for your business, profitable decisions for your business? What reports do you need? And based on the feedback that I get from them, Then the next thing that we do is we say, well, what technology do we need to put into place? The technology in a lot of ways acts as a platform that we build things on. So oftentimes in small businesses, it's going to be QuickBooks. Some business owners prefer QuickBooks, desktop version, you know, it's hardware in their office. Other businesses prefer to have QuickBooks Online. It doesn't matter. What does matter is that the general ledger software is what we call it. The general ledger software is there to capture all of the transaction data that the business does, to be able to invoice the clients, to record the expenses for the labor, for the overhead, all of these things. And so we set that up. Then the next thing that we say is, okay, well, how does the data get entered? And that's where the people part of it comes in. Mm-hmm. So we say, how many bookkeepers do you need? You know, who's going to do the bookkeeping? And then I work with the business owner to train the bookkeeper on what they're supposed to do. I will do paper documentation. Sometimes I'll do video documentation to explain how to do it. And once all of that is set up, the bookkeeper knows what they're supposed to do. They start recording daily, weekly, depending on how often the business needs the bookkeeper. And that data flows into the software. And at the end of the week, there's a report, set of reports that the owner can look at. At the end of the month, we take a fuller look at the reports. And that is what the whole picture looks like. And it really, it's, you set it up in reverse. You look at the big picture and then get down to the nitty gritty as to how you're going to make it happen. But then in daily life, it actually works the opposite way, because now you have the daily grind of the numbers that are coming through, and they're going up to the bigger picture. And at the end of the month, we're taking a look together and saying, well, how are we doing against budget? What does your balance sheet look like? How much cash do you have? What are your receivables? How much in liabilities do you have? You know, when's the credit card bill due?
Right, great. So as you said, it sounds like you're starting with what's the information you need, which technology can get you there, how does data get entered, generating reports, and then doing the review, whether it's weekly, monthly, and against the budget to see, all right, now we have all this information. Is that actually the information I needed to answer my questions?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Terrific. And I wanted to jump back to something you were talking about, calculating bottom line profit. And I was curious about something, because certainly a lot of service business owners don't always factor this in. How do you factor in your bottom line profit in terms of, let's say, the time you spend with networking events and ROI? Can you speak to that? You know, that the ROI of those kinds of intangibles, where it may not be a product that's out there, but your time investment in, you know, toward a particular group or in prospecting?
Sure. That's really a great question, because you're right. It is intangible. But at the same time, I think that we end up seeing results at some point down the road that tell us whether or not it is worth our time to do it. So let's just say that someone joins a networking group that meets weekly. At the end of the year, they can sit down and say, okay, well, you know, this is how much I paid to be in the group to begin with. They can also factor in their time, and they can even assign a value to their time. So let's just say that there's a business owner that charges $150 an hour. They can say, well, okay, it would take me 2 hours a week times 50 weeks a year to do that. So that's 100 hours times 150. And they come up with the number, and then they say, well, what did I bring in? You know, what were my leads? What were my referrals? Mm. Did I make a profit on it?
Right.
So it is important for us to be able to assign some value to our time in order to make these return on investment decisions.
Mm-hmm. And is that something that business owners can just do with, let's say, Excel spreadsheets, or is there something within the financial statements that can help account for that?
It's something that would really be done on the spreadsheets. What does help is for business owners to keep track of their time. So I actually, for myself, for example, I keep in my timesheets, I have one for a client, you know, quote, end quote, that is actually my business. So that I'm tracking not only how much I'm doing for my clients, but I'm also tracking how much time I'm investing in my business.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very good. So what other things do, you know, for business owners to really maximize their bottom line and grow their business, what sorts of things should they be doing to keep moving up the food chain so that they're not always down in the weeds, you know, just as a manager, but also being able to think strategically about where the business needs to go?
Well, I think that a business owner, first of all, and we talked about this before, does need to be looking at their financial reports, and especially weekly to stay on top of them, and then in more detail monthly. A business owner also has to be able to do some cash forecasting, even if it's just simply, this is how much I have today. I know that I'm pulling in this much over the next several weeks, and this is how much I have to pay out. You know, are we doing okay financially? Business owners also need to know what their average month looks like. Mm-hmm. So how much am I bringing in on average monthly? How much am I paying out to my contractors and my suppliers monthly? And then what is my overhead monthly? And do I have money left over at the end? It's also important to know that if you are a business that is cyclical. So an average month is an average month, but an average month, let's say, I know that we're talking about service businesses, but you know, an average month for a retailer is going to look different in December than it does in July.
Right.
Unless, of course, it's a pool company, it's swimming pool supplier, in which case July looks great and December doesn't look so hot. So it's important to have a sense about where you are in the years cyclically. And I should point out, by the way, that one of the things that I find that happens is that people begin to get intuition about how their business is doing. And it's helpful to have numbers to go along with the intuition, because I call it a science and an art. I mean, especially when it comes to pricing, there's a science part to the pricing, because you can go to competitors and look and see what competitors are pricing at. You can look and see what prices are based on region. So there are ways that you can do it from a science standpoint, but you can also apply your intuition. Well, you know, I know that this client reacts this way to a pricing change, so I need to approach it differently. So these are things that we do that are intuitive. And then the final part of it is that we need to know what our key profit and expense drivers are. How many customers do we have? How many units of service are we selling? You know, are we doing it in hours? Are we doing it on a fixed budget project basis? We need to know our average price per unit, the average cost of goods per unit, and then how much we have left over after we pay for our cost of goods. And then we need to know really what our overhead is.
Okay, so now I'm feeling a little less clear.
Okay.
And that's on me, because as you say, a lot of the stuff can be very overwhelming, and it is a new language, and it does take some getting used to. So for business owners who may have come from, let's say, more of a creative place, may not be stepping in both arenas as you have with music, but also administration and finance, what kinds of skill sets should they have? Is it enough just to rely on the bookkeeper? Are there training courses, you know, the same way you might have your intro 101 to French? What kinds of things can business owners just take to get more comfortable with this new language?
I would say there are a number of things that can be done. One is that there are some good guides to understanding financials that are available in book form. Not to self-promote, but part of the purpose for me creating the website that I did is really to help business owners understand and get clarity, of course, about financials. And because I come from the music background, the question that I ask myself oftentimes is, okay, if I were speaking to my younger self, to that music student that's just entering business school, how would I explain profit margin? And how would I explain budgeting, and how would I explain what to do? So there are educational things that are out there. There are paid courses available. There are lots of things on YouTube, although I'm finding a lot of what's on YouTube tends to be how to do things in QuickBooks. And really, I don't think that a business owner should be so far into the weeds with doing things in QuickBooks. There needs to be someone who's doing that work for them. But a business owner needs to be able to manage that person. So being familiar enough with their job to express what's needed without saying this is how to do it is important.
Right. And as we start to close, are there particular numbers? You know, we talked about the different kinds of financials, the profit on your balance sheet, cash flow forecasting. Are there other numbers that business owners can or should look at to gauge their improvement and possibly the sale worthiness of their business other than just bottom line profit?
Certainly. Well, the reports that I recommend for business owners just to begin with are the balance sheet and the profit and loss report. And the balance sheet is important because it asks the questions, where are we? You know, how are we doing today? Are we very heavy on liabilities, or do we have a lot in assets? But especially important on the balance sheet, I would say, are what we call working capital. And it's a technical term, but what that means is it's cash. You know, how much do we have in the bank, plus our receivables and other things that will become cash quickly, minus the liabilities that we have to pay quickly. So it's, you know, money that's coming soon, money that's going to go out soon, because that gives us a sense as to what we have in that's bankable in the next several weeks in order to manage the near term. But on top of that, we also need to be looking at our accounts receivable and our accounts payable aging reports, because we need to know who we're collecting money from or who we're paying money to. On the profit and loss report, it's pretty straightforward, but I would add to that, that's from a supplemental report standpoint, that it's good to know who your customers are and your sales by customer. Hmm. It's also important to know what your sales by service or product are. And what we're looking for on the customer side is we're asking ourselves, who's the best customer?
Okay.
Who should we be concentrating our efforts on? And then on the sales by service side, it's what's the most popular service?
Hmm.
Should I be building on that? Should I divest myself of this one thing that I've put a lot of effort into doing that nobody's really interested in? It's also important for us to know the expenses by vendor, because our vendors are important to us. We need them in order to make money. So who are my key vendors? Who are my key contractors? And I mentioned before about intuition. I think that a lot of us have intuition about that already, but having the numbers to verify that also helps along the way, because sometimes what happens is that, you know, I can run an expense by vendor report over several years and be like, wow, I didn't realize that I was using that vendor this much. I wonder, number one, I'm wondering if I should have a backup just in case because I'm relying on them so heavily. Or number two, if I'm working with them so much, I'm wondering if I should be getting a better price.
Right.
So these are the real world questions that we ask ourselves that finance can inform us of.
Right. So finance can help us tell the story. But I'm wondering, does this at some point completely overwhelm and take over a business owner? You know, it just feels like this is growing and growing and growing to a point where a business owner doesn't have a time to do anything else except look at the financial reports, which for a lot of them was not the reason they went into business.
That is true. The things that, first of all, I honestly think that if a business owner is just sitting down once a week for an hour with their financial reports and that they've selected the questions that are most important to them to be answered, that they will get a lot of it. It's a little bit, you know, like the 80-20 rule. It's 20% of the information is going to get you 80% of what you need in order to make your decisions. So these reports would do that. But I would add to that that it's important really for us to get to know our clients, because they're the ones that have the needs that we're satisfying and they're the ones with the money. And by having that relationship with them and knowing them, the clients don't show up on the financials. We don't see the name of the client on the financials, but they're the key underlying factor for what drives our profit.
Yeah, they're the top line.
Exactly. They're part of the top line. The other part of the top line is how much we charge for our services.
Hmm.
So thinking through the pricing and asking the question, how are my prices compared to the competition in my neighborhood, you know, in my city, in my region, is very important, because these are really what the drivers are. So I think that one of the most important things that a business owner can do is they can ask the question, what drives my numbers? What affects them? The number of clients that I have, the number of hours of service that I do. You know, let's just take a look at our timesheets, for example. Even though the rates might not be in the timesheets, just simply asking the question, where are we spending the most time?
Mm-hmm.
And do I have a fixed price arrangement with a client? And how many hours am I putting in for that client? I mean, that's a great question that owners can ask. because then we can get, just simply by dividing that fixed rate by the number of hours we put in on average, we know how much we're clearing on an average basis. So understanding these drivers.
Mm-hmm. Terrific. So Jonathan, any other points of wisdom as we're trying to achieve financial clarity? And I think for some people learning this new language, it's helpful to have that step-by-step, as you mentioned, just first looking at the reports regularly, understanding what they are, what do they tell us, and the more you see them, the more familiar they get. Is there anything else that you would recommend for business owners just as their own sort of good financial hygiene?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned financial hygiene, because in a lot of ways, that is what it is. One of the things that I've tried to remind people is that it's important to focus on profitability and not on taxes. I hear a lot of feedback from small business owners saying, well, you know, I leave it to my tax preparer. And the purpose of taxes, it's part of your expenses. And thinking about profit is what we really want to achieve. So that's a little bit of a mindset shift to get to that point and be thinking about that. Adding the financial reports and just looking at them and getting nosy. I mean, it's your money. So you have every right, you know, well, it's not just your money, it's your blood, sweat, and tears.
Yes.
That's behind that money. So it's really important to do that. Have a great relationship with your bookkeeper and ask those questions in order to understand that. Have a good relationship with other members of your team too. You know, your tax accountant still is important. Your lawyer is very important, Nina, because your lawyer helps look out for risk in your business.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, an HR advisor is important as well. Your banker is very important. So having these relationships, and go ahead on out and take a look around for places that can explain what these financial concepts are. And I would say, understand that sometimes the labels that are applied to financial concepts represent something that we already experience in day-to-day life. It's just a label some financial people put on a day-to-day activity.
Can you give a quick example?
Well, profit margin. And we've been talking about profit margins. You hear profit margins, like, well, what is that? Well, it's just what you have left over.
Okay.
So return on investment, how much I'm going to get after I put money in.
Money and time, as we discussed.
Money and time, yes.
Example.
Exactly.
But, you know, I like that focusing on profitability and on taxes. I actually, I had a friend whose father used to say he's always happy to pay taxes because it means he made a profit.
Good point.
Which is, well... You know, his dad died in 1965, so maybe he had a different view of taxes.
Quite possibly. But it's still, I've seen a lot of business owners become reactive to taxes and avoidance, and I would say contort themselves and their businesses in order to avoid it. And it's actually, I think, hurt them because their focus has left the top line.
That's a really great point. And we will leave it there. So Jonathan, thank you so much for being with us and for all of these great hints about the language that we need to speak, the reports we need to look at, the systems that we can put in, and also just the new perspective we can have around profit expense drivers, really focusing on the profit. I mean, that's the whole point of the taking the risks and being in the entrepreneurial journey. So thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Nina.
And thank you for tuning in to Cash Out Big. Are you reinventing the wheel every day? Well, we want to help you get out of that struggle by giving you access to one of our special video trainings, the Cash Out Big webinar. We share our action-packed scale formula so you can create the wealth, the freedom, and the legacy you've always wanted. Sign up at cashoutbigwebinar.com. Go there now, and we'll see you on the next podcast.